Hi, I'm Jen Turner, and I'm a psychic medium.
Hi, I'm Nadia Thorman, and I'm like the Ryan Seacrest to her Teresa Caputo.
And we're here to have a normal conversation about weird stuff.
Welcome to The Soul Spot. Hello, friends.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Poor Jen, I am looking at you right now, covering your eye like a cute little pirate, because what is happening with your poor little eyeball?
I don't know. I mean, it hurts. It's like, it doesn't hurt terribly, but it hurts like to when I blink.
It's so sad. I want to get you a little patch.
Like, I mean, Miles has one. I've got to go find it and be a little pirate. But it's like, I don't know. They're saying it's just dry. So I've been doing drops like crazy. So we'll see. I have to go back if it doesn't get better.
Well, I am.
My eye is like all wonky during this. Sorry. It's kind of distracting.
It's okay. I'm sending good vibes to your eye. So
you.
When I was driving to pick Emmy up from school, my car radio was on Coast 103.5, which it never is on the radio, but it just did that, you know?
Yeah.
And guess what song was playing?
What?
Our song, The Greatest Love of All, from our favorite Whitney Houston.
Gosh, it really is the best.
And I turned it up and I sang it with Bubba in the car. And then, you know what the best line is? Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all.
Totally.
I was feeling it so hard today. So,
that makes me so happy. So I want to tell everybody, part of why that became our song was because like long, long, long time ago, we were talking about how we would both have those little karaoke machines.
Yes.
And that
it was the 90s.
It was the it was like the 80s.
I guess I had mine in like fifth and sixth grade. So I guess...
Oh,
but let's just pretend it was the late 90s because we're so young.
With those cool karaoke boxes, yes. With like the microphone, and that we would belt it out and you could put different tapes in, and we would stare in the mirror and belt out Whitney Houston's The Greatest Love of All. And it was something that we just had in common from like day one. I mean, I feel like it was very early on in our friendship.
Right.
And it really sealed our friendship into eternity.
It did.
The Greatest Love of All, and several karaoke events later, and
we have since sang that song a time or two in a bar or two,
maybe to each other.
Maybe after a few drinks.
Yeah.
A few 12 drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it so much. So anyways, I had to tell you about that, but...
oh my gosh, I love that. That makes me happy. I got to listen to it again.
Okay. I'm really excited about today's episode. You guys, it's still Manifestation May.
Yeah.
So exciting. And today's focus is relationships, manifesting relationships.
This is such a big one.
And this can be anything. This can be your friend, your best friend, the greatest love of all. This can be a husband. This can be a boyfriend. This can be so many things. But I think it's so important. And I have a fun little clip from Esther Hicks / Abraham. And we're going to listen to it. And then we're going to talk about it because I think it is so amazing. So here it is.
You have come forth primarily to be creator. In other words, to set forth your thought and emotion in order to draw unto you. But as you have noticed, you are here in a dimension, in a time and a place that you are sharing with many other physical beings. And that is because you are wanting also to be co-creator. Now, the thing about most relationships that keeps them from working in magnificent fashion is that you do not understand that you are first and foremost individual creator. And sometimes upon some topics, you are co-creator. And so often, as you come together in a relationship, you smother the freedom that is essential to your being by expecting the other to now think exactly as you do, walk exactly as you do, be exactly as you are upon all subjects. And because you are a freedom-seeking being, then you cannot tolerate that sort of suppression of your freedom. Most relationships are better in the beginning than they are later. Because in the beginning, you are focused upon what you are wanting to see. And by law of attraction, you are soliciting more of that from one another. But as time goes by, because most do not understand the power of law of attraction, they begin to look also for things that they do not want. And they begin to solicit more and more and more of those forth. Some relationships have been created out of a wanting for companionship. But the clear intention or all of the things that are wanted have not been clearly stated or clearly recognized. Sometimes until you have become part of a relationship that is not to your liking, you are not really clear about what it is you do like. We say sometimes it is a value to live in a house with not enough closets to identify you are wanting more closets. In this physical world, because so many are not understanding the laws, most do not believe that they can have everything exactly as they are wanting it to be. And so they say, well, I cannot have everything perfectly, so I will put up with this that I don't want. And so they attract relationships that satisfy some of their intentions, but not others. Later only to discover that those other intentions were very important to them, and the lack of having them satisfied leaves them feeling empty.
I hear a great deal of...
Okay. There's so many things to talk about.
Such a great clip.
For me, what was the most like eye-opening was when she talks about that most relationships are better in the beginning because you're focused on what you want to see. And by law of attraction, you are soliciting more of that from the other. And then the same goes for what when you start looking for the negative, right?
Yes.
And I feel like that is so powerful. Like that kind of blew my lid off for a minute because it's so true.
It's so true. And it's really incredible because it is how the law works. Like if you guys have been following along the previous episodes for Manifestation May and our Law of Attraction clips, this is all of it. It doesn't change. So you can kind of plug and play whatever it is there. It is the law of attraction. So yes, it makes perfect sense at the beginning that that's what you want to see and you get more and more of that. And then later on, when you're looking for the negative, that's all you see and it's, or that's all you're attracting. So, I mean, it is so powerful to know that. I mean, I feel like so many of the readings that I do and the sessions that I have with people clearly, right, are relationship based. It's like career, love, and then if there's like trauma or any other like big decisions, like moving is a big decision. So it's usually like career, love, moving, something like that. Those would be the top three. And like with the relationships and the love one, I mean, this is something we touch on all the time.
I mean, it's like, it just made me think so much. It's like, okay, so if you're for somebody who's in a relationship, when you meet that person, you know, think about when you're first dating and, oh my gosh, I love the way this person makes me laugh. Okay. Let's just start there. And everything's light and easy and you're looking for the good and you see this person makes you lighter. It makes you laugh. So that person's picking up on that vibration and they're matching it and they're now more confident and they feel light and free because you're light and free. So you guys are playing off of each other in this same frequency of like lightness and laughter and playfulness. Right. And then everyone's a victim of this, but you know, 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line, whatever, you know, why do you leave your shoes all over the floor? Why don't you clean up after yourself? You're so lazy. So it's like, now we're putting that negative frequency, projecting it onto the other person. We're asking for more of that. And you know, that our partner is probably believing a lot of that and subscribing to that. And it brings them down in the process, right?
Completely. And they're like, going to fulfill that prophecy that you've set out.
It's so basic. And I mean, I think you could even look at this with your children.
Yep.
It's like a great example in mothering. It's like, I mean, and God, we're all victims of this as like more tired moms and you just, you know, you lose it and you start yelling at your kid for something like, why don't you ever clean up your toys, whatever. And it's like, you're putting all of these negative statements out into the universe. You're putting all these negative energies instead of saying, it's so great when you help me clean. It makes my heart so happy. I love it when you help me clean. And now you're putting out a positive statement to your child that is in turn giving them the confidence to want to join you in this light space, right? Like, it's so much harder to put into play in those moments when we're tired and frustrated, but it's so important because that's how we're going to get those results.
I mean, absolutely. And the example that you brought up about the children is such a good one. There's actually a study where they study, and it was, oh my gosh, I don't remember who, it was like a talk show that I saw this, I don't remember who it was, but they did like video cameras of parents negatively scolding their children for not cleaning up their rooms. Mm-hmm. Then there was like the opposite of parents positively parenting by saying like, thank you so much. I can't wait to see it when it's all cleaned up. It's going to look like a princess room.
Right.
And that those were the ones who got the results. The ones who were being negatively like threatened or scolded didn't. So, so it was just interesting because there is so much to that. And in relationships, that's such a huge piece. And it is relationships, romantic relationships, like, are the most complicated subject in like the spiritual realm. I feel like it is so difficult. Each one is so unique. It's so different, but these laws are universal. Like, this does apply. You see it all the time. Males do it just as much as females do it. And kind of looking for what is wrong and not being able to fix it. So yeah, it's the beginning part of what you're attracting, what you want to see, that stood out to me. And then another one that stood out to me was at the beginning when she talks about an individual creator and then a co-creator.
Right.
That is huge. And that is actually what I talk most about during the sessions that I have when it comes to relationships. So much you're going to hear me say, like, if you're doing a reading with me and it has to do with marriage or it has to do with whatever, so much of the time I feel one person's energy just smothering the others.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'll say, and if you guys are my clients, you probably heard me say this, where I'm like, peel back your energy from it and worry about your creation and your joy and your life and your love. And then that will follow.
Okay. So this is a note I wrote down after listening to this, and this is just my own thoughts, but I think this really taps into what you're saying. I feel like this is kind of really where the higher self work comes in, because we have to like put our egos aside, right? We have to humble ourselves, deeply humble ourselves, and make ourselves vulnerable to give love so we can receive that love. I think a lot of what happens in these relationships when we get into like toxic patterns is we let our egos guide us because it's right versus wrong. And it's this very black and white view on, you know, you don't do this for me. And it becomes very accusatory and ego-based, where it's like you're saying, peel it back, right?
Yeah.
Because if we become humble and put our egos aside, and we can get to that vulnerable space and that higher self and that soul connection, that is when you will actually get what you want. I mean, you don't want conflict in your relationship. You want pure connection. You want vulnerability. You want the person to actually see you, but you can't do that if you're stuck in your ego brain.
Completely. Yes. I think that's a great way of putting it. And did you see this? I just manifested a relationship. My husband bring me another margarita. Thank you.
Wait, like, I didn't even see him.
No, I know. He just snuck up and dropped one off.
We're Zoom recording today, and she ran out of her drink halfway through, and it was very sad. And now it's
very sad. Yeah. So thank you.
That's the power of manifestation.
Yes. Attracting that. No, so there's so much to talk about with this. So the individual creator and then being a co-creator. In other words, what I say to my clients is that you need to work on your own happiness first. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, nobody can make you happy. Right. It is thing ever. It would be so much easier if people could just make us happy. Nobody can make you happy. Only you can make yourself happy. I think that you can add or subtract to the happiness that you create, but I don't think that anybody can actually instill that in you, right?
Agree.
So you have to make yourself happy and therefore only worry about your individual creation.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens is you have a co-creator along the way, right? That is there to help guide you in certain ways, support you in certain ways, challenge you in certain ways, but it is your show still,
right?
And they are the co-star. And if those roles get reversed, where all of a sudden they are the star and you are just the co-star of your own show, that is such an unhealthy energy shift,
mm-hmm.
that always ends up negatively.
Right. So
do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
1,000%. I mean, no one else is ever going to be the person to make you happy. You make yourself happy. First and foremost, you make yourself happy. If you are looking, if you depend on that for another person, that is the definition of a toxic codependent relationship. This is like
somebody else directing your movie. And it's like, no, this is yours. You have to be the creator. And the creator is the perfect term. That's why I love that clip so much.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful way of saying it. Like, you get to be the creator and you have chosen a co-creator to help you along. And I just did a reading actually a few days ago with somebody, and this is actually a theme. I see this quite a bit, and it had to do with her husband's marriage, or her husband, sorry, not marriage. Husband, that'd be weird.
Yeah. In certain countries, maybe not. Certain religions, perhaps.
Her husband's career is what I wanted to say. So her husband's career. And this is such a frequent one where the wife wants the husband to get a better job.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of you people out there, but I get this all the time. They want them to have a better job. They want them to leave their job. They want them to try harder to find a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been guilty of that in my life where it's like, come on, like, let's just get the resume out there. Let's just do this. And so this is actually a trend. So, but from the law of attraction and a manifestation place, we cannot manifest that for them because that is not our movie. That is their movie and their spiritual journey that we need to respect. So we can advise and we can support and we can guide without expectation.
Right.
And that's the hard part. And so to peel our energy back, instead of just putting all of our energy in, because if we put all of our energy into it, we're depleted and we're suffocating them.
Right.
And in fact, nothing changes at all. So if we peel it back and just continue worrying about our creation,
mm-hmm.
they, and the higher up we can get with our creation, the more they will naturally rise up to meet.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And this reminds me of something else I wanted to say, which is that ways in which we can be like mini manifestors to like help aid our partners or our friends or our children is we can use those positive statements like we were talking about with the cleaning the room or the job or whatever. And it's like, I remember reading when the first time I read The Secret when I was in my early 20s, one of the big takeaways from that was like, you don't tell somebody, don't forget your keys. You always forget your keys. Don't forget your keys. You say, remember your keys.
Yeah.
It's that simple, because remember is positive. Remember is positive. But you can like, and that's so small, but it's kind of like with everything, the way we talk to our partners, the way we talk to our friends, the way we talk to our children. If we preface things in a positive way, if we don't talk negatively, if we don't judge, and that's all in that same realm, right? Of like, it's judgment, it's opinions, it's all like things that are such a lower vibration than where we want to kind of be. It's so small, but it's so huge.
Completely. And yeah. Interesting about that is that oftentimes it feels like helping.
Right.
So it's like, we want to help by being critical of what the person is doing, or by guiding them, or putting our influence onto what they need to be doing. And so even if it's not coming from a judgy place, it's coming from a place of love, and it's coming from a place of help. It's still not yours.
Right.
You can't, unfortunately, actually influence it that much. And then what I always end up finding out with these kind of misalignments with energy in relationships and marriages, is that there usually is a lack of respect.
Yeah.
Within the two. So it's like, and even if it's totally unintentional, but it's like, if we could respect them enough and trust them enough to do their own thing,
right,
and peel it back, and it's just like children, right? It's just like, can we trust our kids enough to do the right thing and peel back our energy instead of just suffocating them? And we peel back our energy on our husbands or our wives to not overly control the dynamic and trust their journey and their own creation, however it suits them. Does that make sense? So,
oh, totally. It's about respecting the other person's autonomy. And that's really hard in a romantic relationship specifically, because we do become easily codependent. But it's the same with children. You know, it's the same with friendships. A lot of times friends will come to you with some big life stuff, and the knee-jerk reaction from a lot of people is to give specific advice about what they should do, right? Here's what you need to do to fix it. Here's what you should do.
Right.
But what happens in that dynamic, and you could say the same thing for a marriage, is like, you lose a little bit of the autonomy of like that person feeling like, well, now I don't feel free to express because I didn't need judgment. I needed like just to like that space for support. Right. So a lot of the words are important in that way. The words are really important.
The words are really important. And I think that the intention behind it is equally important. So I totally hear what you're saying. And I think that what happens is there's a difference between me, and you'll feel this energy shift. Okay. There's a difference between me coming to see you and telling you like, you know what, I really feel like if you were to just like move out of this house now and go just rent a place for a little while, you know, or whatever. And I'm giving you this advice on what you need to do with your moving situation. That's one thing. It's different when I do it from a place of expecting you to do what I say.
Right.
Like, there's a difference of being like, I'm having a hard time articulating this, but there's a difference between me saying like, you've got to do this, and me putting my energy into that of like expecting you to listen to what I say, versus I think like an option for you. It just sounds like maybe it would be better if you moved out of this, but like you do you, you know, like there's a difference with the intentionality of it, I guess, of how much energy I'm putting to you, versus how much I'm just giving you like my advice and letting you make the choice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the hardest part of it is just having that awareness, you know, when we have those interactions with our husbands, with our friends, with our boyfriends, with our children, having the awareness to remove judgment. It's hard. It's not, I don't think it comes naturally to most people. It doesn't come naturally to me. And that's because I think as humans, we are hardwired to kind of navigate things through our own experience, right? Everything's through our own paradigm. So the more we learn that we're all autonomous, we all have different operating systems, that one person's intention and motivation and perspective is completely different than mine, and that's beautiful and okay, the more at peace we'll be in all of our relationships, right?
Completely. I feel like it's such a weird knot with these relationships, because you pull more that way and then I pull more this way, and then it gets like more complicated, where if we just can center and come from a place of love and say like, here's what I'm telling you out of love, based on my experiences, take it for what it is. Like, I trust you enough to make the best decision for you, but I have to tell you this because I think it might help.
Right.
It's very different than having expectation. But the tricky thing in relationships in marriages is that there's always expectation. It's hard to have expectation that because it affects your own life too. So it's, well, if my husband were to get this like amazing job or whatever, I would never need to work again. Or we could put the kids in college, or we could live in that house or whatever. And so you have this, or he wouldn't be miserable when he comes home. So you have this expectation that you put on it because it affects you. So you need to go back to what the earlier clip was, which is becoming the individual creator first. And there is a weird, weird magnetic pull that takes place and a magnetic shift of just the energy work, which you and I do together, I feel like all the time. If you are super happy about something, I get swept up in that.
Yeah.
So quickly, you know? And if you're down, I get down. And right. Like, we do that to each other all the time. It's like, it's almost like the way that Dave says we talk to each other, where we just go over each other and louder and louder and louder, and then all of a sudden we're screaming.
It's my favorite.
It's totally, it's the best. But that's how it happens with energy too, of being like, okay, I'm kind of sad. Now I'm sadder. Now I'm even more sad. Like I'm even, and then the same thing with happiness. So it's just that energy shift, you know?
You remember back from acting days, the red shirt, blue shirt exercise?
No.
You sit across from your acting partner and you say, you have a black shirt. And then you would tell me, you have a blue shirt. And then all we would do is say that back and forth to each other. And the dialogue changes depending on the energy of the other person.
Ooh.
I think
something like that. I don't know if it was the red shirt, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah. It's a really good human exercise in that we receive what is given to us, right? And we absorb that and we feed that back to the other person. So it's all that game.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
You know, and it's all that kind of like, it starts with that little spark, right? And so what's your spark? What are you emitting? Is it doom and gloom? Is it bad? Is it judgmental? Is it negative? Or is it open and, you know, lighter? And are you trying to see the best in other people? Like, it sounds really basic, but it is an exercise and a practice. And the more we can do it, the better we're all going to feel in all of our relationships. Before we wrap, I want to ask you, because we've talked a lot about existing relationships, and I know that you have a lot of clients that are manifesting relationships and they're looking for romantic relationships, but a lot of times people move to a new place and they're looking for new friendships and new community. What is the best advice you have about manifesting relationships, whatever they are?
Okay. So when I'm working with my clients, most of the time it's romantic relationships. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That's like the majority of it. Right. And so I think that there's a few things. Number one is to make yourself happy, because the greatest love of all, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you so much. So I do think that there's a certain element of knowing when you're ready to manifest this. So I think that doing the soul sessions that I have with the clients and everything, they can kind of sense when they're ready. Like, okay, I'm healed from that last relationship, or it's really time for me now. I have made space for this. So it's like, do your own work first. That is always going to come first. And then second, to attract and manifest, just know you already have it. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's something we practice with my clients all the time, of just knowing that you already have it. You're already in a wonderful relationship. It just hasn't quite happened yet on the timeline, but it's almost there. And to just know that this comes, because the more you believe that this comes, the quicker it's going to come to you. Right. So there's belief that has to happen in it. An exercise that I give my clients a lot, I can't remember if I already shared this on the manifesting ones, but an exercise I give my clients a lot is to do their meditations, like do their daily meditations, because that's part of the self-care and like the spiritual self-care. And then afterwards, while you're laying, like while you're sitting in stillness, is to really envision what your relationship looks like. And it's not what the person looks like. It's what the relationship looks like, how the relationship feels, how you feel in the relationship. And there is such an attraction to that. I shared, I think on, I don't know which episode it was, but, or maybe it was on the Patreon thing that I did, but that using your senses, all of your senses, is so powerful in manifesting that when you're manifesting a relationship, it is no different. Mm-hmm. So you are going to already know that the next airline tickets you purchase are going to be with somebody, you know, that there's going to be two, that you already know that you're going to have to get like an extra set of this for your house because there's going to be two of you there or whatever it is. Like, just start playing that role and opening up that space in the, for the universe to kind of do its thing. And so you're going to set yourself up for it. You're going to envision it. You're going to use all of your senses for it. And then the hardest part of it is you are going to let it go.
Yeah.
Now going to release it to the universe and let it do its magic. And you are not going to obsess about it because you can crush energy. So you are going to just let it go. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to see the magic happen, and you're going to trust every step of the way that you are being, that it is being led to you, that right. you are attracting that to you.
Right. Okay. I love all of that. This has been really great. I love this episode a lot, you guys. And I want to leave us with some little relationship affirmations. I'm just going to read a few I found that are fun, but I think affirmations are a big, important part in our manifestation journey. And we're going to post more on the Soul Spots Instagram one day.
One day when I hire somebody to do my Instagram for me, you guys will see all.
No, we are going to post more affirmations soon, but I want to just read some that I found because I feel like it's kind of just like, it's like, you know, so basic to start this manifestation journey, to just have these basic affirmations, to say them out loud, to feel them. I mean, this is like you said, you do it in the shower a lot. I started doing them in the shower. It's such a great practice and exercise because you're alone in the shower, and it's kind of like you're probably starting out your day at that point, and you can just have that space to give that gift to yourself.
And water is an energy conductor.
Yes. Okay. So I love this one. Okay. I'm just going to start reading them.
Yeah.
Okay. I naturally find love everywhere.
Love that. Okay.
You guys write these down, push pause. Remember them for later. Okay. Sharing love comes easily to me.
Mm-hmm.
My relationships are always fulfilling. My heart is prepared to receive love. I trust the universe to bring my true love to me. I allow the universe to help me find love. I really love this one. I am swept up in romance. I think that's...
Oh, I like that.
Especially if you guys have been in a relationship for double digits. Sometimes you just need
to... Say that one again.
I am swept up in romance.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to remind yourself, right? I deserve mind-blowing passion in my relationship.
Good one.
Love that.
Yeah.
I only attract healthy relationships.
That's my favorite one so far.
And then I'm going to leave us on this one. I am happy to give and receive love every day. And listen, all there is love, right? That's why we're here. So here's to
that. I love it. For all of you guys on your journey to find true love, or to heal from previous relationships and take the next step, it will happen. You need to just, I mean, I feel like that's part of abundance, and God wants us to be abundant and filled with love. So I think that doing the inner work is like the first step to it, but you're on your way. You're listening to this. You're learning about manifesting. You're totally on your way to that. So
yeah.
Love
it. You guys, thank you so much for being with us. We are on Patreon. Please go to patreon.com/thesoulspot. Join the community. You can follow Jen on Instagram at the.soul.spot. You can follow me on Instagram. It's my name, at Nadia Thorman. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.